And the cemetery is not where you see the most dead people. It's where you walk around and encounter people with something that's died inside of them.
Garen Jones, the author of Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life.
He has one of the most profound rags-to-riches stories.
Sentenced to 12 years in prison.
Then he gets out.
I lived in my car for 2.5 years. I was $200,000 in debt. On the surface, all of that is basically somebody who was written off. The only thing I was truly lacking was...
You get out of prison, you sign with Ludacris after. What was that dynamic life in your life?
And me being in prison and then me getting out and me getting a record deal, this was part of me just pursuing a life that looked good to everyone else. So I was more focused on money instead of adding value to people. And through that, you can earn money. I didn't understand that because I didn't have that type of direction.
Change your mindset, change your life. What does that quote mean to you?
I would always attract the thing that I kept saying I don't want. For the first time in my life, said, just show me a sign. A week later, I'm at the gas station. Homeless guy walks up to me and I said,
welcome back, everyone, to Diary of an Empath. Okay, you guys, I'm so excited for this conversation because this is a, I don't even know how to explain it, a wild story, a wild ride. It reminds me a lot of my life. So my next, let's just get into it. My next guest is Garen Jones. He's a best-selling author of the book, Change Your Mind, Change Your Mindset. He's an international life coach, an internationally known sought-out speaker. So excited to have you on the show. Garen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so grateful to be on here.
I was listening to your story. We were both on the immersion for Deborah, who's amazing. Love her. And I was listening to some of you talking on there. And I'm like, wait a minute, I think I follow him. And I listened to a couple of the podcast episodes that you've done too, just to prepare for the interview. And I'm like, wow, I don't even know where to begin with how to start this interview because your story is so wild. But let me start with this. So I actually used to work in the prison system and I worked in the federal prison system. And, you know, it really changed my mindset on everything I thought that it was. And I found that a lot of people that were there were not bad people. They just had bad circumstances or didn't have the upbringing and the support that they needed. So for you, what do I need to understand? And you guys will understand why that makes sense later. But what do I need to understand about you to understand the man that I'm looking at today and your background?
That there is more power in community that than humanity has a fraction of understanding that is shaping the narrative of how we exist in our human bodies and possibly one of the main reasons why a majority of the world is suffering, either suffering out loud or suffering in silence. And a lot of it is the domestication of either your community at home, your community at school, your community at church a lot of times, sometimes. Just like there's power inside of that. And for me, I had no idea, and you can't change what you're not aware of. So being somebody who was eclectic, meaning somebody who thought for themselves, when I was in elementary school, back in the 80s was not a cool thing. It's cool now. You get celebrated for it now, but it wasn't cool being from Texas where a lot of people were either white or you're black or you're Asian or you're Mexican, or you're in a gang, you're a kicker or you're, just white collar. It was all these specific typical titles. Anybody in the in-between had no friends. And so the only kind of people, character of people who took me in were the people who got in trouble all the time. And those were often the people who were the outcasts inside of their family and in their community. So all of us outcasts got together and I just happened to, before I knew what influence was, I just happened to come in, assess the situation, get really good at it. So if I was breaking into cars, breaking into houses, I would assess the situation, get good at it, and then influence a lot of people. And this is even when I was 8 years old, that brought me in and out of prison, in and out of jail, in and out of juvenile. But I didn't consciously know. This was all on the surface level. I only knew what I was being taught inside of the communities that were the most accepting to me, that was the most celebratory to me. So my past isn't one to be ashamed of. However, one can look at it. You served 2.5 years in prison and 6.5 months in juvenile, in and out of jail, got kicked out of damn near every single school, written up all the time. And on the surface, that's what that is. I lived in my car for 2.5 years. I was $200,000 in debt. On the surface, all of that is basically somebody who was written off. But underneath was a little kid who just never had proper guidance or direction on how to take that energy and put it in a direction that was conducive to him moving forward. Now connecting the dots, looking backwards on my life, the only thing I was truly lacking was a directional community with a good head on their shoulders and someone to say, hey, Garen, I noticed that you're so passionate about everything that you do. I can teach you this, or over here, you can find this. So I had to learn the hard way. So that's a bit about my background that gives you an understanding on why I went so hard with the wife that I have, with as a father that I am. I have a daughter who's 22, a daughter who's 2 years, and another kid on the way.
What I've done in business,
all of that is the same framework as far as energy. I just learned how to transmute that energy.
I relate a lot to what you said. So I grew up in Chicago. It was very similar. You were either white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, or Black. And even if you weren't, you fit in where you can get in, and you're just under the assumption that that's what you are. And I think for me, I lacked a lot of that guidance. So I just got in where I can fit in. And that was the guidance that I had, you know, experimenting with drugs, being, for me as a girl, being promiscuous at a very, very young age, being taken advantage of by older men, being in parties and doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. And that direction and that road that I was going down, I was a good person inside. I just didn't know how to express that energy. I was always the person who raised their hand, always the person who asked too many questions, and I was always punished for it. And so my worthiness and how I viewed myself was skewed because I never had that support system. And, you know, I went into the Marine Corps when I was like about 19, and that having a kid during my time in the military really changed for me. When you look back at your life, and I know there's a lot of pivotal moments in your story, what would you say was a really key pivotal moment for you to say, like, okay, I need to change directions?
It was always something that somebody said to me. I remember one of the first ones was, I was already in juvenile, and then I got busted for breaking into cars while I was on probation. And the order of events, I was 15 years old. I didn't start puberty until I was 18 years old. So I was a little kid for a long time. I'm 6'1" now. So being a little bitty kid, like the smallest kid inside a juvenile, and everybody's like, why are you here? Mm-hmm. My probation officer said to me, you know, there comes a time in life where you hit a fork in the road. You make a left, you do the same thing, you fall off, you go to prison, you die. You make a right, you create another life, you make something of yourself. And he said, I don't think you will ever make a right. And I think you hit your fork in the road. And I never forgot that. I didn't. It was something. And simultaneously, you know that show, there's a show called Scared Straight. Mm-hmm. And Scared Straight is where they take these troubled teens, take them to prison, and have the most dangerous prisoners try to scare the living daylights out of these teenagers so they don't end up in prison. I was mm-hmm. the smallest kid. And before that show went off of air, they, I think it was Scared Straight, but I just know that they were filming and it was a scared something for teens. And there was other, there was gang bangers, everybody had started puberty. I was still a little kid. Mm-hmm. So there was the thing that my probation officer said, and then there was at one moment they didn't spit on us, but they were spitting around us and telling us, "Oh, if you ever come in here, you're gonna be my girlfriend." They were saying all these other things. I don't know what it is about me, but anytime mm-hmm. there had been this big threat that everybody's afraid of, I always get what I now know is the word called centered, and I'm mm-hmm. ready for it. Whether it's tornadoes outside, you know, I'm from Texas, like hurricanes, I was always like here ready for it. So mm-hmm. all of these kids were, I mean, deathly afraid. And they were like, "Yeah, you come in here." These guys all had all these tattoo tears, and they had us in the mm-hmm. in outside. And Texas heat is way different than pretty much any other heat. So 100 degrees yeah. in Texas, 100 degrees in Texas with the humidity is like 134 degrees. So we're outside hoeing. It's just like hoeing. And then and like this is their way of like putting us through work. All the mm-hmm. other kids quit. They're crying and there was blisters on my hand. There was blood, but something switched inside of me. And this is the thing that I use today. Something switched inside of me. And then all of them are like, "Oh, look at this little bitch here. He is like, he think he's tough and da da da." And then the more and more all the prisoners came and I noticed that all the other kids that I came with quit. And I was like, "Fuck you. You're not going to ever make me quit." And there was something took over me and I'm just hoeing. And I'm like, "I'm never going to fucking stop." Ah. And then one of the guys said, there was like, youngin', much respect, mm-hmm. much respect. So I earned everybody's respect. And then one of the dangerous men in there said, "Man, I've never seen anything like that in my life. You're a quarter horse." And I didn't even know what a quarter horse was. The thing that like makes it all go forward. "You're a quarter horse. We could use you out there in the world inspiring yes. people. You don't want to be in here with me." So that was a seed that was planted mm. that I'm never going to make the left and I'm a quarter horse and they need us out there in the world making a difference before I even know what I was going to do. So those were seeds that were planted. I didn't know it was going to grow into, but I never forgot that.
Mm, that's so powerful. And correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm remembering the story correctly, you end up going to prison, spending time in prison, getting out, signing with Ludacris, and not to mention you've had, you know, some near-death experiences. Your father was murdered. Take me through that time in your life. You get out of prison, you sign with Ludacris after, or was this before? What was that dynamic no, life in your
life? My father was murdered when I was 12 years old. Wow. That was all part of my self-destruction because I just didn't care anymore. Because I felt mm-hmm. like half of me died. My parents didn't live together. My parents separated when I was 4 years old. And my mom, at the time, I felt like she forced me to choose which parent to go with. Because she said, "Pick which parent to go with at four." And so I remember dreading not wanting to. And instead of, you know, I just recently learned like 2 years ago, she didn't force me. Because you can always look at one situation from a completely different perspective and it'll instantly shift the energy. So instead of her forcing me, my mother gave me the power to choose my own destiny. And it's so interesting that 10 minutes after I made that decision is my earliest, I don't know how many kids you know that can recall the moment that their intuition came online. It was 10 minutes later after that, because I originally chose to go with my dad. And what mm-hmm. I now know is my intuition, it was hot vibrational water in my stomach. It was like, "Stop the car, go with your mom, go with your mom." I said, "Stop the car, I want to go with my mom." So wow. that right there is the first part of the thing that you asked in regards to my dad. But then when it comes to prison and me being in prison and then me getting out and me getting a record deal, this was part of me just forgetting all of the things that made me the happiest and pursuing a life that looked good to everyone else, doing what everybody else said I should do. And instead of ignoring all of the signs of things inside of me saying, Garrett, do this, you love this, do this, you love this. So I was more focused on money instead of adding value to people. And through that, you can earn money. I didn't understand that because I didn't have that type of direction. I just knew how to make money. So I ended up smuggling. I was smuggling drugs from one country to the next. And they originally, you know, you go to prison for a whole year. You're in there for a whole year before you get sentenced. So I was in there for a whole year before I even got my first phone call. It's very different than America. Literally 1 year, then I get my first phone call. And they sentenced me to 12 years. I'm not thinking I'm ever going to get out. And then the moment I gave up trying to think that something lucky was going to happen, I said, well, what can I do in here? Because I was trying to figure out a way to use my brain differently. What can I do in here that I wouldn't normally do out there? And instantly, I just started using my non-dominant hand because I was like, I had the time. So I stopped using my right, used my left, didn't know, I was unconscious, that it was exercising a different part of my brain. And I could get into the deep science of that, but I'll just keep it like super fluff. Like anything that you do that is the opposite of whatever you normally do on the other side of your body, it's just going to activate more brain cells and more motor neurons, and you'll instantly feel these free radicals of energy. I didn't know that I was doing that. So imagine literally training the other side of your body that you never use for 2 years straight every single day. I basically optimized my whole self. Well, while I'm doing that, I started remembering that I loved art. I remembered that I loved singing. I remembered that I loved motivating people, even from when I was a little kid, and running. I started doing all those things, and I never felt more free while I'm in prison than I did outside, because I never did what I actually wanted to do. When I went back to doing all those things, there was an energy that took over me. Running, drawing, singing. Other people were like, man, it makes me feel good whenever you sing. And I would sing and I would run, and inmates would run with me. When I felt free, there was an energy that transcended me. And they called me into the office and they said, Jones, we retested the drugs, which they had no reason to retest the drugs. It was 6.2 kilos of heroin. We retested the drugs and 90% was fake. And for the amount that was real, you've already done the time. You're free to go home. And that was so significant, because that was the next thing that was the next treasure chest that when I started growing in life, I was able to go back and extract what it was that I was doing, pull out a formula that I use every single day.
That's wild. I mean, the fact that you can hold on to that hope and still somehow find a path to your purpose, even while your freedom is taken away, is so huge. And I saw that time and time again, working in the prison system, and I really gained a lot of empathy and understanding that some people just didn't have the tools that they needed to be successful or to gain knowledge with how to heal. They just didn't know. There's a quote that I want to ask you what this means to you. Change your mindset, change your life.
Yeah.
What does that quote mean to you?
Well, one is it's the name of one of my companies and the title of my book. When I was in a very, very, very low point, 2011, I remember it was 3:43 in the morning, and I was in my car on the corner of La Brea and Hollywood in the parking lot of the Mail and More place. And when I just, my whole life, I'd always be like, I don't want this. But I would always attract the thing that I kept saying I don't want. It's like somebody saying, I don't want that kind of man, or I don't want that woman. And then you keep attracting the same variation in a different body. It's the subconscious mind doesn't hear I don't want. It just hears I and the thing that you want, because you give it a lot of energy. I wasn't aware of any of that. So I, for the first time in my life, said everything that I wanted. Okay, I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to fight anymore. I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. I want to be surrounded by nothing but positive people. I want to inspire people, and I want to make a bunch of money, but I want the money to represent something that I passionately believe in, that I would do for free. Just show me a sign. I didn't know what the sign was going to be. A week later, I'm at the gas station with my last $2. And anybody who ever lives in LA, you ain't getting no gas with $2. It was $4.59. And so I had my last $2 I was going to put into the tank. Homeless guy walks up to me and I said, and he asked me for money. And I said, you have more money than me. And he said, change your mindset, change your life. The homeless guy. Interesting, because I've heard people say personal development words all my life, and I didn't pay attention to anything anyone ever said. But there was something about the way in which it was being said. It was like his pupils dilated differently, and something was activated inside of me, and I call it the conscious interrupt. It interrupted the lie that I was telling myself. And I instantly said, well, if my mind is set on something, then that's why the result is what it is. So if I do different with the same circumstance, my life will change. Change your mindset, change your life. So my life now is a direct flip from 13 years ago, when I taught myself how to do the opposite of everything I wouldn't normally do in the areas of my life where I wasn't happy. Health, finances, business, TV to books, chasing women to chasing a better version of myself, and then upgrading myself, and then attracting a woman at the level of my upgrade. Like my whole life is a direct flip. Same energy though.
Oh, and I like what you said, attracting a woman at the level that I'm at too, because we change and we attract different people as we change. A lot of people are stuck in relationships, stuck in their jobs, not happy. How do I find my purpose? How do I become unstuck? What do you say to somebody who's listening, who finds themselves feeling stuck in their lives right now? Did you guys know that I'm not only a therapist, but I'm also a coach and a professional tarot reader? Now, it's not exactly me hovering over a crystal ball telling your future. It's a way to connect with your guides on life issues such as career and love and spirituality. And sometimes people need one-on-one coaching to help them through breakups, toxic relationships, healing the mother wound, their spiritual path, or navigating tools as an empath. So I do all of these things to help my clients pursue life and decisions and understand themselves. So if you are interested in one-on-one coaching or a tarot reading, click the link below to get started. Okay, back to the podcast.
Well, one, a lot of times people aren't aware of what they're saying when they say it. They often rehearse what other people say based off of what they think is happening. And there's a reason why they say human nature, because we're literally a part of nature. And if you think in terms of nature, if you drop a seed in fertile ground and you don't see the tree for a while, but it's being nurtured at the proper water, proper sunlight, you don't see the fruit, you don't see the limbs, you don't see the leaves. The seed is in the ground. What people don't realize is there is a rooting process inside of every thought that you have, inside of every seed that you plant. And if it shows up really fast, then oftentimes the tree doesn't have as much nutrients. It's probably not growing to a big capacity. So oftentimes people have these big, lofty dreams. And if they don't see it in like 2 weeks, they say, I'm stuck. But it's all depending on what you focus on. But if you know it's rooting, if it's rooting season, well, if you plant big enough seed and you got a big enough dream, let's just say your vision or your prayer, your desire, your wish is the seed of your future. Okay, well, there must be a rooting system. So if you got a big future, then that must mean the rooting system needs time to dig itself in the soil and then reach its networks into the other processes of the other plants that are around. And what we do is we destroy the dream through a lack of patience, not understanding the full process of how things are planted, then rooted, then stemmed up, then it takes all the nutrients to then go up, then the leaves start branching out, then the branches, then the leaves, then the fruit. So a lot of times what people are considering stuck is actually rooting season. Now, there are people that could be potentially stuck, but nothing is never not moving. Everything, the molecules in our body, energy is always moving. It's not stagnant. It might be tight, it might be like this table, but this table is made out of energy. And it's like, but if you can get yourself in the same vibrational match, it would be a completely different feel to the table. So it's just people just not understanding just physics and metaphysics. And I understand that because they don't teach that in school. However, energy goes where energy flows. So if you have patience and you become the kind of person that says to self, I know for a fact this is meant for me. How long will it will take? How long it will take? Because you got to understand, in the spiritual realm doesn't have the same timetable as the human made. Oh, this man or this human makes a watch and based off of this time, and I think it'll be this, and everybody else buys that. No, it's not even in the same vicinity. It's worlds, it's planets apart. So if you base yourself off of human made time, you will be out of the dimension that dreams, that prayers, that wishes, that manifestation in the stream of consciousness flows into. Like, you're literally taking yourself out of the river, wondering why you can't catch no fish. However, just like you can take yourself out of that stream of consciousness, you can always bring yourself back in through conversations like this. And I would say, hold on tight. Your time is coming. If anybody knows, I know. I was supposed to retire my mom by 25. It didn't happen until 35. But in my mind, that was the human that said that. But how it was designed for me to have 10 times a bigger life. So you can either have a rotisserie chicken that got cooked in the microwave life, or you can have a rotisserie chicken that was marinated. You know, if you don't do chicken, then whatever it is, your version of that. And so patience, belief, and understanding that your time doesn't equal to the spiritual realm's time and the time it's meant for you. And maybe the time that you're saying it's not working is actually what you're supposed to be learning, which is radical state of presence and radical state of patience, which is not something you do. It's something that you are. And in that frequency will unlock the thing that you're probably looking for.
It's so wild that you, like, I feel like that's the message I probably needed today, honestly, especially because I've just been doing this for so long. And I'm like, damn, where is my, what's the next step for me? And sometimes being radically present is so hard because we live in a society of instant gratification. You know, if that website doesn't load within like 0.2 seconds, we're refreshing. We want to swipe left, swipe right. We want to instantly match. And if we don't get the match, we'll just go to the next one. And I think people have become so used to that instant gratification that we think we can take a pill and it cures everything. And that's just not how life works. And it's not how spirituality works. One thing that you said that really, really stuck out to me was abandoning yourself for other people's approval. What did you mean by that?
Well, this world, I can't speak for every single person, but for the hundreds and thousands of people that I have experienced on stage and online and things of that nature, so many people are suffering from giving their power away. Giving their power away to a man, to a woman, to money, to sex, to porn, to alcohol. And they give their power away to something outside of them and then wonder why is it not happening for me? When is it going to happen for me? And if you dig down deep enough, most of the time there is this deep need to feel needed. And I think the deep need to feel needed takes you out of alignment of the integrity that is needed for your magnetism to be as powerful as it could be. And yes. So that disrupts the manifestation powers, that disrupts all kinds of things. If there's any human aspect of you, it's like, oh, I need this celebration, or I need to feel needed. Even if you're searching, see how many likes and who said what. And if there's a little hint of that, I'm telling you, it's muddying your future. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are unaware of that. I've gone through that and I had to learn the hard way. But every time I felt, quote unquote, stuck, I would always just go looking. I'm like, what is it about me that is attracting this thing? Okay, why did I respond like that? Why did I jolt that? What is my earliest memory of feeling that? And I treated my life, and I still do, like a treasure hunt. And they say, we're brought up in a world where they say the gold is at the end of the rainbow. And I'm like, gold is at the beginning of the rainbow. If you're willing mm-hmm. to look in the primitive stage of your life, you will find treasures. And I see people all the time, they'll be like, oh, leave the past in the past. Not if you didn't get the lesson, because your future will become a recreation of your past. And I would rather create the possibility of new experiences, not ones that look like new experiences, but feel like old experiences. And I think that if one can get really real with themselves, listen, I'm not what I present myself to be. I'm not what I thought who I thought I, you know what? I need a coach. I really need to work on this. And I think that there are a lot of people, even now in coaching positions, should not be in coaching positions. They need to invest a lot of time to build, especially it's different. It's like right now I'm learning how to play the guitar. It's like me creating a class like while I'm learning and then calling myself like this expert and wondering why it's not happening. There's a lot of people that not just coaches that think that they are experts in a thing that they are rookies in and wondering why the abundance is not coming, because God can't bless who I feel. God can't bless who you pretend to be. And it is clear. It is blatantly obvious. There's no selling. There is no swinging above your weight class. And you are just in your being. Nature's law states, according to the health of the seed, determines the growth of the tree and the fruit that it produces. So if it's not producing good fruit, I guarantee you, the health of the seed, there's something out of alignment with the thoughts, with maybe who one is hanging out with, where they're averting their energy. And I think if you treat your life like you truly want to be a professional athlete or a professional at something, or you're the skill set at something, it's law. It will 100% match.
Ooh, God can't bless you with who you pretend to be. That hit. So there's a lot of people that have gone through adversity. You've gone through so much adversity in your life. And there's a lot of people listening that are thinking, how can I move past the trauma? And you talk about adults are really deteriorated children and emotion is stored in the body.
Yeah.
So for those that are listening that are struggling with their past and their trauma, how can they take those notions and apply them into their life?
It's difficult to speak it logically, because I would be sharing with you logically to something that doesn't happen in the brain. It is something that happens in the body, and the body has a completely different language than analytical language. I mean, it's a vibration. But I'll do my best on here in a short period of time to create an experience for everyone to go through as you're listening. So all right, everybody, quickly, I'm going to try to do this in 2 minutes. Close your eyes. I want you to take a deep breath in your nose, out your mouth, in your nose, out your mouth. Feel your breath going down your body. Whatever you're sitting on, allow yourself to feel that. Wiggle your hands. I want you to remember, at any given moment, if you feel extremely uncomfortable, start moving your body, because your body is a container that holds energy. And when you move your body, you're sending a signal to the energy that it's okay to move. Instead of clamping up, allow yourself to move your body at any given moment. I want you to imagine a moment in time where somebody was, won't go too deep, bullying you or saying that you couldn't do something, and you just felt you felt insignificant. You felt unworthy. Or there's just a feeling of just feeling by yourself, or like you needed to prove yourself to somebody and you just feel like they didn't see you. They didn't take the time. And I want you to notice that feeling in your body. Does it feel yuck? What color is it if it had a color? Can you taste that feeling? Does it make you want to squirm? Just bring that feeling up in your body. Just a feeling that just doesn't feel good from your past. Okay? Now, what I want you to do is we're going to take a deep breath in. And if that feeling had a sound, it could be a yell, it could be a curse word, it can be a... That feeling had a sound. And if you could bring that through your body, through your throat, and imagine you're going from the top of your head all the way down to your toes. So if it was a sound that's like this, it'd go, ah. Okay. On the count of three, we're going to do that 10 times. And I want you to imagine that feeling, having a voice coming through, hitting the top of your head, going to the bottom of your feet. 1, 2, 3. Ah. And take a deep breath in. Ah. I want you to imagine that you're just allowing that feeling to have a voice. Keep going. Now we're on 3. Ah. 4. Ah. 5. Ah. 6, and just allow whatever sound that you want to come out. 7, 8, and allow your body to just sway back and forth. 9, last one. 10. Okay, eyes still closed. Left hand on your heart, if that feels good for you. Right hand on top of your left hand. Now, I want you to imagine the most endearing person that you can think of in your life, the most loving person. And it just by way of thought brings a brush of love and just joy into your heart. Imagine that person is here with you in the room telling you, hey, it's okay to be seen. It's okay to express yourself. And it's okay to be your full self. And imagine their presence. Notice the difference in your body. Now, take a deep breath in. Hold it. And release. Now, imagine that person is actually you, because you can't be what you can't see. And whatever you see inside of that person is you. And the energy you just gave yourself the opportunity to express was you just wanting to feel seen and heard and accepted for who you are in this aspect of your life. Now allow yourself to drink yourself in and nourish the fullness of who you really are and allow your body to experience that. Okay? Now sway back and forth. Deep breath in your nose, out your mouth, in your nose, out your mouth, in your nose, out your mouth with a smile, in your nose, out your mouth with a sigh, hands down, pat your legs. Flutter your eyes open.
Oh, I got emotional.
Look to your right.
That's beautiful.
Look at a color. Look to your left. Look at the ceiling. Look at your hands right in front of you. And say to yourself, I receive all of me.
I receive all of me.
And I'm leaving no parts behind.
And I'm leaving no parts behind.
Okay, so what we just did is what we spoke to the energetics of the body, which is a completely different energy. That's why I didn't want to give you, okay, take these 5-6 steps. That only works for top layer, but it doesn't work for the energy that's inside of the body, which is where trauma is stored. And the body keeps the score. So what we did was tell the energy that came up that typically has autopilot. It goes to the alcohol. It goes to the porn. It goes to the gummy bears, the Dorito. It's the autopilot whenever that feeling comes up. We got into the eye of the storm and gave it another option. And while you were feeling it, we moved the body. We took direction. We touched the body. You brought in thoughts that immediately brought in another sensation. And then you alchemize that sensation. And now that aspect of your life has been coded with another option. Now it knows that it's more than just one option, that you can actually energetically choose something else. That's how you do it.
So just to give you guys some context, I was thinking about a moment with my mom. I was like 7-8 years old, and my mom saying, you're not going to amount to anything. And when you talked about imagining somebody who you feel connected with in front of you, I thought about my daughter and giving my daughter the grace. But what if that was me? I was that child. I needed that same grace, and looking at myself as that inner child of needing to have grace with that inner child and hugging that part of me that it's like, it's okay. You didn't get that support, and I'm sorry you didn't get that support. That was powerful. And, you know, it makes me think about forgiveness and how hard it is for some people. I know that you had to go through so much adversity, even, you know, with your dad being murdered and people doing you wrong. How did you learn to forgive?
Well, there's forgiveness as something you're doing, and there's forgiveness as a part of you, of who you are. And those two distinctions are worlds apart. Something you're doing, it's like I'm doing to get something. When it's a part of you, here's who I am, and it emits a frequency, and you on the forgiveness frequency is where the freedom lives. And so people are just doing it. Well, I already forgave them. And for some reason, it's too hard. Yeah, because it was something you're doing. It's on the outside of you again. You literally gave your power away to an act instead of it becoming a part of you. And what I mean by that was before math or before the ABCs wasn't part of you. And you did it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. All of a sudden, as you and I are talking right now, the undercurrent of this entire conversation is being run by ABCs. That's just been evolved over time. Well, forgiveness for me became an everyday practice. So now it's not just forgiving the two men who murdered my father one time because the feeling came back. And weeds don't need anything to grow but time. They don't need water or sunlight. They just need time. So the weeds of your mind will always come back if you give it enough time. So I have an everyday forgiveness practice. Somebody goes, oh, but that's too hard. No, it's not too hard. You brush your teeth every day. You at least try to shower every day. You put on clothes every day for the most part. So you find something that you already do every day. And then you implement your forgiveness practice inside of that. I go in number one or number two every single day. So that becomes my sanctuary for forgiveness. So I'll be on the toilet. Sorry for the TMI, but this is what's real. And this is something everybody can relate to. And next thing you know, I'm like, I forgive myself for not honoring what I said I was going to do yesterday. I forgive the two men who murdered my father. And it just over time, when it becomes a part of you, it amplifies your vibration. And who you are as a vibrational being is how the world is revolved around you. So whoever told you, you just act like the world revolves around you, it actually does. Your life will magnetize by who, it will magnetize by who you're being. So if you're a butthead and you're negative and you're this and, oh man, I'm telling you, you're going to have it tough. Well, what about this person right here? They're really mean. They got all this money. I'm like, oh, don't distract money from true wealth. Yes. Because if they've got these random ulcers and they had a heart attack by the time they were 35 and that all these things are breaking down in their life and money is the shield. Oh, don't get fooled by that. So I think that you creating a continuous forgiveness practice, knowing it like you know your own name, is a vibrational match that's completely different than when you're just doing something one time.
That's so beautiful too, because I feel like forgiveness is really hard, but when we can kind of implement that skill set, it forces us to continue it. When you think about, this is going to be a little bit of a dreary question, but I think it's valid. When you think about when you die, or have you thought about this? What kind of mark do you want to leave on the world?
It depends on which form of death you're talking about. And yes, I've thought about this. There's the physical death and there's where you die to your ego. Most people they don't want to die at all. So they won't even die to their own ego. So they'll just hold on to the ego. And the cemetery is not where you see the most dead people. It's where you walk around every day and encounter people with something that's died inside of them. I see it all the time. Yeah. You know, being a light in the world of darkness, you can clearly see. So I think that when you get clear on death, for me, I just got clear on death. There's physical death. There's dying to my old self, like the guy who was broken, ashy, and gossiping and cheating on every girlfriend I ever had. Homie is dead. Like we transmuted that energy and I'm just like, I'm living for the Lord, empowering millions of people, you know, earning millions. That money represents like change in the world. So like anything that comes in, I wholeheartedly feel there's a sense of fulfillment. That is a very, very different approach and energy and what I think about than who I was before. And so that form of me has died. And what I would suggest, there's something unique that the samurais do, that the samurais did. They would create a poem, and it's the poem that they would recite right before they die in battle. And I would suggest, and I had studied to be a samurai for 2 years, I would suggest everyone out there write a poem for their ego death. Here's how my poem goes. As night turns into day and the divine nature flows, I'm finally woke from this nightmare. To ascend is what I chose. I suggest everyone write a poem for your ego death. That's one. At least you'll be prepared for it. And then number two, when it comes to living and dying and all this other stuff, all of us gonna go. Mm-hmm. You just get to determine how your kids, what your kids are gonna have to make up, how they're gonna be set up, that future generation, if you wanna have a legendary mark. And I feel like anyone who leaves a lasting imprint on someone else continues the legacy of the message. And if that message gets carried on, your legend continues living. So therefore, you can actually live forever. Because there's the spirit and there's energy. There's so many different facets than just this meat suit right here. Mm-hmm. And so I feel it depends on whatever your aim is. I feel like I'm going to live forever. And when it's time for my physical body to go, the level of impact, the level of legacy that has been left with babies and grandparents and so many, the trans community, the LGBT community, and like the spiritual community, politicians. I mean, you name all the titles, the level of which me, when I say me, this vessel, just honoring God's word, has left with humanity continues the message of love without boundaries. And I don't think that that's ever going to die. And I'm signing up, like I'll sign up for that all day long. And I think that that will transcend even what we think about age.
Mm. That's something to think about. Garen, thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for the work that you do behind the scenes, for the level of energy that you bring to every interview that you do. I know that that's not easy. And thank you for the impact that you're having. And I know I don't know you, but I'm proud of you. You have overcame so much in your life. And although I haven't gone through everything that you've gone through, a lot of my life is very similar. Yeah. And I can empathize with how hard it is to overcome that and be everything that you were told you wouldn't be. So I'm proud of you. Continue doing what you're doing. And thank you for the work that you're doing. And thank you for coming on the show. Very humbled.
I received that. And I also want to reflect to everyone that you don't have to have gone to prison and had this crazy hard life like I did to be able to relate. Because I can tell you, there are people right now that's like, oh yeah, you know, it's good for him, but I haven't been in prison. I was like, yeah, but you've been in that 9-to-5 job that you know you don't want to be at for 10 years and you stay in it and you're getting paid less than your value and you're accepting that. My friend, that is prison. Or you're in that relationship that you've been in for 7 years and you knew in the beginning, I shouldn't be in this thing. And you're wondering why all these breakdowns are happening. Yeah, because at the primitive stage, you locked yourself into your own prison. So we all, regardless of what we're experiencing on the surface level, have something that we're feeling internally that allows us to connect to the pulse of the human experience if you allow yourself to really listen from the soul place, from the heart place. So it was a pleasure to be on here and thank you for the opportunity. And I also want to acknowledge you for being brave enough to create a platform like this. So stories like mine actually have wings.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Garen.